Have a seat. Relax. That sound probably familiar to any of you who visit barbers and have a seat and relax during a haircut. Here in Massachusetts, there are roughly 5,800 licensed active barbers in the state, according to the state's Division of Occupational Licensure. A quick view of barbershop locations on Google Maps shows the concentrations of shops where you might expect: Greater Boston, North Shore, South Shore, Worcester, Cape Cod. But as you span across to central and western Massachusetts, shops become more spaced out. There's a cluster in Springfield, but there are also some portions of the state where no shops pop up on a map. Now, for some, barbershops are places to get a trim, have some small talk, but for others, barbershops are a lot more, which is why access to them matters not only for your hair, but for our communities. Take Billy's Barbershop in Lowell, where owner Billy Cabrera is using his shop to have conversations about the future, from life after prison to domestic violence to what comes next for a young man. Billy Cabrera joins me now to talk about his shop and the community around it. Billy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Good morning. How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Billy, how are you today?
I'm doing outstanding.
So, Billy, tell me what a barbershop is in your mind. What is a barbershop?
A barbershop is a place where is a sacred place where young men and everybody from the community goes to get their haircuts, have conversation, non-judgmental. That's what I grew up with, you know, being around barbershops.
Do you remember your first trip to a barbershop?
That was many moons ago. But I do remember, and I remember my barber's name. His name was Chad. And I remember getting introduced, going into the shop as a young man. And I remember the barber's Chad always, you know, we having conversation pertaining to everything was what was going on in current events, to schooling, to just basic counseling. He used to always take the time, as he used to cut my hair, to ask me how I was doing. And I was able to like share with him after a while how I felt and the way I, you know, viewed life at the time.
So it sounds, Billy, almost like it was a little bit therapeutic. Billy, did I lose you?
I did.
Yeah. Are you back now?
Yes, I am.
Great. So it sounds like it was a little therapeutic for you, Billy.
It was. I remember the gentleman always trying to give me, suggestions on how to navigate through the community.
And so how do you bring that in?
At that time, I was very defiant, very, go ahead.
So Billy, here's what we're going to do. I am really looking forward to this conversation, and I want to make sure that we have it. So we're going to have you work with us for a minute offline to clean up your sound, and I'm going to talk a little bit more about what will be coming with Billy after Billy in a moment. When we're done with our conversation with Billy, we're going to talk a little bit more about the shortage that I queued up at the beginning of this. We're going to talk with Matt Haskins, who's a barber in Amherst, who's working on increasing the presence of schooling and availability of barber training in the western half of the state to make sure that the kind of barbershop experiences that Billy's just been talking about with us are available statewide. I'm going to check in with the studio right now. This is live radio, folks. I'm looking for a thumbs up from them that we've got Billy back. Looks like we need just a minute longer. Do we have Matt? Shall we switch over to Matt, folks? We've got Billy. Matt. Okay, let's switch over to Matt. We'll come back to Billy again. This is live radio. This is how it works. Matt Haskins, are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Tiziana. Thank you so much for having me on.
Hey, thanks for coming on. And I'm sorry about the switch up there, but we'll work on getting Billy's sound back while we have a conversation with you. So first, how's business for you?
Well, it's interesting. You know, business, I will say, on one end, we have the most demand we've ever had. On the other end of things, we have the least amount of barbers we've ever had. So we're unable to meet demand.
How many barbers could you employ? What, like, in, both in terms of the size of your shop, Matt's Barbershop in Amherst, and the amount of demand that you have right now?
So my space is set up for 5 chairs. I currently have, I work there full-time myself. I have one other full-timer and one part-timer. We could easily have, if there were enough barbers, we could easily have 10 chairs and we would be completely booked all the time. It's just such an incredible deficit of barbers out in Western Mass.
And why?
My best guess is that we just don't have training in Western Mass. There hasn't been a barber training center in Western Mass for just about 30 years. I think my goal is to try to see if we can get training accessible and local to people that are interested in getting in the industry.
So you have talked before, Matt, about, okay, so if there are not sufficient training centers, or in this case, any training centers that are easily accessible, how far might a young person have to go who's interested in becoming a barber in order to get trained? And for how long? Is this 1 year? Is it 6 months? Is it 3 years? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's a great question. So rather than a monthly or daily time frame, it's just 1,000 hours. So curriculums will be full-time, which is like 40 hours a week, and you would go for 6 to 8 months, or you'd go part-time, night school, and that's going to take 12 to 14 months to complete.
And so you might be doing a significant commute during that time.
Oh, yeah. So to answer your question about the commute, yeah. If someone lived in Pittsfield, say, which is way out in the Berkshires, the closest barber school to them is 2 hours away. So they'd have to drive 2 hours, go to barber school unpaid for 8 hours, and then drive 2 hours home and get ready to do it again. You can't go to barber school until you've already graduated or had your GED. So these are people that are working age that probably have bills and would require them to work.
So what can we do about it, Matt?
My goal is to see about changing some regulations. Currently, the regulations for minimum barber school size require the schools to be very large and very costly to build out. And I think that keeps people from going into the industry of barber training. What I'm recommending to the state is that we allow barbers with experience and interest that can recognize that there's a shortage in their community, they might say, apply for a state instructor license, and then that barber could then train during their off hours in the barbershops that they're currently working in. The key really is to just make sure that there's a separation. So during the day, we're, cutting hair as usual. At night, we would change the signage out front to say, instead of Matt's Barbershop, it says, Matt's Barber Training Center. People come in at night, they would learn the book work, the scholastic work, and then also be able to cut hair as training barbers.
So this is a pretty significant shift, and I want to help make sure our listeners understand it. You're saying rather than you have to set up a school, right? It's got, let's say, 25 chairs, which I think is the required number of chairs. Is that right?
That's right. 25, and it's 25 barber chairs, so setting up a 25-seat barbershop. There's a separate 25-seat classroom that's required, a front reception area and a business office all needed, and a 25-person locker room. Or locker area that would also be required. The build out would require probably bare minimum 3,000 to say 6,000 or 7,000 square feet.
And so you then have to operate that school and you have to get enough people in it to keep it profitable. And what you're saying is there's infrastructure, there's capacity in local barbershops where you could be training with proper certification to train, where local barbershops could be training a few people at a time and using sort of a cottage industry style approach if we change statewide regulations to bring more people into the business. Is that right?
Exactly right. Yeah, you said it a lot better than I did.
Well, I talk for a living, so.
but yeah, I mean, the idea is that not only does it offer job creation in your local community where people could come in, but also there are people that might have transportation issues. The idea of commuting an hour to your closest barber school might be the thing that keeps you from doing it. This allows the barbershops to really define, does our neighborhood, does our community need more barbers? And in most cases in Western Mass, the answer is resounding yes. And we say, we have a space that the state comes by, inspects and approves as a functional, clean space that's meeting all the regulations and requirements. Why not take that space rather than adding cost to barbers to say, let's offer another opportunity for those barbers to train and then not only help their business, but add more barbers into the community to bring it back. Because like you said, there's towns, and not just one town, but strings of towns that are, might go out 20 miles before you even see the next barbershop.
Matt, who or what convinced you to be a barber?
Oh, I was 10 years old. I come from a blue-collar town, and I felt like sort of like what Billy was talking about. I went to the barbershop with my father on Saturdays, and I saw the kind of community engagement. It's almost like a celebration when you're in a barbershop. People come in, and it's like seeing an old friend or a family member, and quite frankly, the barber seems to me like a celebrity when I was a kid. I said, everyone knows his name and everyone wants to talk to this guy. It would just seem kind of obvious to me that's, I think in a lot of ways, people might see someone on TV and go like, oh, geez, I want to be that singer or that actor. I saw my barber and he seemed like the kind of celebrity and I'd want to be, and living a life with a lot of community around him and happiness. And it just seemed like that was the right thing to do.
Matt, do you mind staying with us while I bring Billy Cabrera on and talk with him a little bit more?
I'd love to.
Billy Cabrera, we started this conversation with you, owner of Billy's Barbershop in Lowell. Do we have you back now?
Yes.
Wonderful.
How are you?
I'm great, thanks. Thanks for coming back on. I'm glad we got the sound cleared up. I don't know if you were able to hear what Matt just said, Billy, about what made him want to be a barber.
I did, and it's very true. It's a space that has been created from the early 1900s where people within the community can go and share with everyone what's taking place in their life. And like I said, it's a non-judgmental space where people go and they feel confident that they can get answers, they can get resources, referrals to different locations, when the barber is actually engaged with the community.
And Billy, you're doing something really specific in your barbershop, which comes, and you've said this publicly, out of your own experience when you left incarceration, which is using it as a place to reach out to other men who are leaving incarceration to provide guidance and support. Talk about that a little bit.
Yes. Young man at an early age, I ran into a lot of obstacles in life, and I ended up being physically removed from society. And within that prison system, I grew to love cutting hair. After, reminiscing about going as a young child to a barbershop, and I pursued that when I was incarcerated. And I remember when we integrating into the community, I wanted to do something different. I went to barber school and I got licensed, and I started working in a regular barber shop where there was a lot of chaos. It wasn't my vision of how I wanted it to perform my craft and my passion. And I had a vision of opening up my shop and doing something different. And when I did that, It just, one thing led to another, one thing led to another. People within my community were seeing a change that was happening within me. I wanted it to be a part of something bigger than me. And people kept asking me, Billy, what you do? How you doing this? And I started sharing, messaging to other, my peers that, this is possible, that this can be done. And I found myself sharing with everybody else, and people within the community will start supporting the movement and coming into the shop. And I just decided when I was going for my master's to do something more than barbering, because I understood that barbers are pillars of the community. It's like Matt was talking about. It's like a celebrity. Everywhere I go to Walmart, I go to Market Basket. Everywhere I go, there's someone pointing at me. I got little ones running up to me. Hey, that's my barber. And it feels good. And I started applying certain values and morals into my life. And I started carrying myself, with respect for others to respect me. And I started navigating and providing resources. And in 2014, when I opened up my shop, I decided to create a drop-in center where returning citizens from the prison system can have a space to go get their hair cut and maybe navigate through any issues that they may have, you know, to get job placement, to get connected with other employers within the community.
And is it working? Are you finding that these years later, 7, 8 years later, you still have people coming through for that support in your barbershop?
It's been amazing. It's been amazing. It's funny because, you know, when I was opening up my shop, you know, I had to, you know, pick a name. And I had the hardest time doing that. And I decided I'm just going with Billy's Barbershop. And in the beginning, it was hard to separate the shop from myself, you know. And as time went by and we started expanding and exploring and navigating with the community, Billy's Barbershop just became a place of hope, you know. And to this day, I got people walking in from all over, all different walks of life that are seeking services. Not only are they seeking a haircut, but they're also seeking services, whether it's job placement, whether it's housing, whether it's getting into a facility, some rehab, getting insurance, getting enrolled in MassHealth. So it took a form on its own, and I started collaborating with different agencies, it just took off.
So let me bring Matt Haskins in one last moment here. Matt, we've got about a minute left. Let me just let you react to what we've just heard from Billy.
I think that to hear what Billy's able to do is just absolutely heartening. It's beautiful. Our goal is really to be able to offer those kind of things, you know, community engagement in Western Massachusetts. It's amazing to hear what he's doing. We would love to see, well, even just have the chance to have, you know, grow barbershops in Western Mass. And I do recommend to people that are interested in barbering to call their legislators and talk about getting barbershops in Western Massachusetts or barber schools in Western Massachusetts. And if not, just find a, you know, anybody really, if you see an empty chair in a barbershop, that shop is looking to put a barber in it. So let's all look forward to having the successes that Billy's having now throughout the whole state.
Well, that is Matt Haskins, barber and owner of Matt's Barbershop in Amherst, and also with us, Billy Cabrera, barber and owner of Billy's Barbershop in Lowell. Matt and Billy, thanks to both of you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you very much.